This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home with my lighthouse. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa, I'll guide you home with my lighthouse.
Welcome to Lighthouse of Hope. I'm your host, Michael Hempseed. I'm so glad you're joining us today. On today's show, we have Sharon, Jeff, Zach and Melissa. They're from The Hive. We had Sharon and Jeff on the show last time. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Great. So The Hive, tell us, how did you get into beekeeping? It's not about beekeeping. No, sorry.
No, it's not. So The Hive is a healing holistic hub in the middle of Christchurch. It's located in an engineering company, actually, Michael. And it is a space where people can come and be creative and innovative. And it's also a place where people come for therapy and treatment and workshops. And we do a number of activities in The Hive and outside of The Hive. And one of them is the Shadows Project. We work with young people in schools, which I think we're going to talk about with our kids here today.
We are indeed. So do you want to tell us a little bit about how long the Shadows Project has been going for and what it involves?
Sure. So the Shadows Project has been going for a year now, and we had a focus group last year, and this year was the pilot, and we've now just started running in schools here in Canterbury. It is a program that is designed to work with creativity, to give kids tools to use the concept of shadows as their thoughts. So they use the metaphor of shadows, and then we work through a 10-week program of activities, working up to them building a stage presentation where they tell their story. What we're doing here is we're giving voice to the voiceless things, and we are giving sound to the things that cannot be spoken about. And as you know, Michael, it's a big topic around, you know, young people and youth suicide and their thoughts and their feelings being unheard. And so we are giving them the tools in a creative way to be heard, be seen and be loved also.
Fantastic. When people think of shadows, they probably think of something that's invisible, don't they?
Well, yeah, actually, and we've asked a number of people as over the last couple of years as we've been developing the program. One of the first things we ask all our students is, do you think shadows are negative or positive? Don't we, Jeff?
Yes, we do. It's been amazing with the response that we've had, even from this program that we've just about finished now. We had our final performance last week with the children, and that question we asked to the audience that came along as well. And you'd be quite surprised that, as you mentioned, Michael, you know, they are obviously things that, shadows at least, that we don't think about as being, you know, able to see, or, you know, they're dark. But, you know, one thing we have discovered is that, you know, shadows can't exist without light. So, that was something that's come out of the program in a really strong way.
And I guess one of your goals is to bring that light to people.
Yes, definitely. We want to help these young people find hope, and find a place of hope within themselves and within their own lives. And, you know, the concept is that shadows, you know, are whatever you perceive them to be. And what we discovered was that in our research that children perceive shadows to be fun, actually, and exciting and good things, and it was adults who perceived them in a negative way. So what we looked at was what happened in between, and we found that there was a change in the thought process around that. And so we used that and adapted it towards this model.
Excellent. Zach and Melissa, welcome to the show. First of all, Zach, can you tell us maybe what you like doing in your free time and maybe some of your hobbies?
So I play the bagpipes. I've been playing for 5 years. It's something that I really enjoy and is probably one of my main goals in my life.
Wow. I don't think I've ever met anyone that plays the bagpipes before.
Yeah.
And was it quite difficult to learn?
Yes, it is quite difficult to learn, but I've got the hang of it and I'm really enjoying playing for the pipe band that I play in.
Fantastic. Well, if we ever need a bagpipe player, we'll call on you.
Sure thing.
And Melissa, can you tell us what you like doing in your free time, please?
I like to do dance and play ukulele.
Oh, fantastic. And what sort of dance?
I do jazz, contemporary, and yeah, that's it.
Nice. So we could have a session with bagpipes, ukuleles and dancing if we get bored later. Is that the idea?
Yes.
Great. So Zach, do you want to tell us, first of all, how did you come to be involved in the Shadows Project?
So I got asked by the dean, Year 7 dean of our school, and I got asked if I'd like to be in this project. And it's been over 10 weeks. It's been a really good project being involved in, and yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Great. And what did you think about it at first when you heard about this project?
I was quite nervous. I didn't really know what was going to happen. But yeah, it was very welcoming, and yeah, I felt very safe and yeah, great in the environment. Thanks.
And Melissa, can you tell us, what did you think of the Shadows Project when you first heard about it?
It was a bit scary at first because I didn't know what we were going to do at first, but the more I went to it, the more I found out about it and what it was going to be like, and I really enjoyed it.
Great. And there were 10 different weeks. Can you tell us, Melissa, maybe what was one of your highlights out of the 10 weeks? Was there one thing in particular that you remember?
When we were practicing for the play, we had to stand in front and just say a small like line or story, and that was a highlight for me.
And Zach, did you have a highlight?
I really enjoyed the drama aspect of it, how we did a play at the end, and really being involved as a group. That was my main highlight for me.
And did either of you worry about forgetting your lines or anything like that?
No, it was a fear-free environment, and yeah, it was really great. We worked as a team, and yeah.
Great. So can you tell us, please, what were some of the things that you acted out or that you did in that time?
So our focus on the play was about emotions and about how that could affect you, and yeah, so we showed different colours for different emotions. One of my highlights of the play was when we made a big bird, and we went round and formed this big creature. It was really fun to be part of.
A big bird, a big yellow bird by chance?
No, we were all dressed in black.
Oh, I see. And Melissa, what was one of the things that you enjoyed acting out?
So one of my favourite things to was acting out was when we were in the play and we were this girl's shadow and we were following her and she was trying to get away from her shadow.
That sounds a lot like Peter Pan.
Yes, it does.
Great. And before this, do you feel like this show doing this gave you more confidence?
It gave me a lot of confidence.
Yeah, and Zach?
It helped me through some tough times, and yeah, it was very helpful.
And if I asked you a year ago if you'd feel comfortable presenting a play, what would you have said?
I'd probably be a bit hesitant about it.
Now, I understand that you have a story that you brought to this, a shadow story. Maybe, Zach, can you tell us about that, please?
So we all had a story about our past, about our shadow, which we tried to portray in the play that we did at the end. A bit about my story. I found some things that people would normally not worry about. I worried a lot. I overthinked everything. I was really stressed out about school, about life in general, and this has really helped. I feel very confident in myself, and I've taken away a lot from this experience.
Excellent. And some people would say that if you're year eight, you don't have anything to worry about, but that hasn't been your experience, has it?
Definitely not.
And Melissa, do you have a story that you brought to this project?
I actually have a few stories. When I first came to this Shadows Project, I was very nervous and scared, and I didn't really want to share or like tell anyone what I was feeling, and I didn't want any help from everyone. I wanted to figure it out on my own. But since we've been here and listening to other people's stories, I've really gathered up everything and opened up a lot over the last 10 weeks. And now being here, I realise that I can talk to my family about it and they can actually help me.
And Zach, you said that you used to worry a lot. Did you realise that this was not the best in the world, or did you think it was just normal?
I thought that it was just normal. But my parents got a bit of help for me. We tried going to counselling and all sorts of stuff, but this has been different. I really enjoyed it because it's been a different kind of therapy, I guess. It's been, we had like notebooks and stuff that we could write in, express our feelings in different ways, especially through drama, and it was really creative and a really fun way to do things, and very safe space to share anything, and I was very comfortable with the whole experience.
Yeah. And Melissa, you said before that you didn't have a lot of confidence. How has this changed your view on life, perhaps?
It's changed my life by coming more open to my parents and being more happy with them and explaining to them how I'm feeling, and we work together and we try to solve the problem, and by the end of the day we know what's going on and they can help me, and we don't live separate lives, we are together and we help each other through what we're feeling.
Excellent. And Zach, you said that you used to worry a lot. Was that something that you thought it's always going to be this way and there's not a lot you can do to change it?
Yes, at times I did think that. I've had some really tough times, I guess you can say. But no, this has really helped. This has brought my confidence up. I've made new friends. We're all working as a team. I didn't really feel like I was alone, like I was the only one. It was quite a surprise to see how many other people were going through the same thing as me. And brought us as a team closer together, and we're really supportive of each other.
Great. And Melissa, when you were in this group, did you start to realise there were other people like me?
Yes, I did meet a few people that we have come more closer. Even though we see each other around school, we would just say hi. But now since we've been in this group, I learned things about them that I didn't know before, and that they are hiding and they don't want people to know. But now they've come out, and if they need help, then we go together as friends and we go and speak about it. And yeah.
That's brilliant. And you had your final performance, I think, last Friday, was that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And what was the highlight of the performance for you?
Just standing there and just telling your story, mostly, about yourself.
Yeah. And Zach?
Same as Melissa. I really just enjoyed, it's not sort of a normal play. It's got a story, a true story behind it. And we all put our own little snippets of our story into the play. I felt we really acted it out very well, and we could show the audience a bit of ourselves that they wouldn't really know about, as well as like our parents. It was a really, really good way to go about it.
Yeah. And Melissa, when you opened up and presented your story, what did people say to you afterwards?
Actually, most of my friends that were watching came up to me and they're like, "Oh my word, Melissa, I didn't know you felt that way. You can always come and talk to me." So they really did not know what was going on. And also my mom and dad said, "You must come and talk to me." So now being there, I really have gotten more open with my friends and actually allowing them to come and actually help me, as well as my family.
And Zach, what did people say to you after the performance?
I'm not really someone who just go and speak about all my worries and things to people. So I've just really enjoyed showing people my story, and yeah, and same as Melissa, my friends really encouraging. I guess it's brought us closer, I guess. And yeah, they were really supportive of me and the whole group. It was a great outcome.
Sounds fantastic. And Sharon and Jeff, what was it like for you watching some of these kids that didn't maybe have much confidence and then seeing them grow and develop over the 10 weeks?
Well, Michael, it was, just a really amazing, just see these children who had, 10 weeks ago, really, to be honest, they couldn't say boo. We were thinking, what's going to happen here to where they ended up. And, for me personally, I was extremely proud that they stood up and were able to talk about their stories. It takes a lot of courage. I just really felt it was quite emotional. I was actually quite emotional on the day, which was interesting because we were also in the final performance in certain parts. And so I'm thinking, okay, I've got to hold it together here because it's really important. But on the whole, I'm very proud and just really blessed, to be honest. Really blessed. So felt really, really fantastic.
Great, and Sharon.
I think, one of the things I never consider but always discover is that when we work with young people in this way, we often go in to teach them something, but oh my goodness, they teach us so much more every single time. And over the last 10 weeks, we have just seen them grow, blossom, develop. It is such a gift to watch a young person be transformed and set free, and that's what we've witnessed. Some of their stories are just incredible, and they might be year 8 students, but my goodness, these kids are carrying, the kids of our city have been carrying huge weights upon their shoulders, and to give them the tools and a creative means to work out some of those thoughts that they're dealing with so in a safe way is just a huge opportunity. And like Jeff said, incredibly blessed to be part of this, incredibly blessed to witness their evolvement through the weeks.
I mean, I don't want to make this solely about the earthquakes, but obviously that's had a huge impact on our city. And I think a lot of people would say that, well, the adults will obviously be affected by this. But what have you seen with some of the younger people that you've had on the program?
Well, yes, I think we do have to take it into account. Some of the students we work with, though, weren't here for the earthquakes, didn't live here at that time. So, we do get a range regardless of the earthquakes. However, that as a point, we are seeing these year 7 and 8 students particularly who had started school or kindy or something around the time of the earthquakes. The teaching staff and the pastoral care, and I think a number of professionals around Canterbury will tell you, Michael, that kids have a higher level of anxiety, a lower level of resilience, a low level of hope at the moment in this age group. And we're also seeing with those who were born in those first 2 years who were in vitro babies or born, who are 7 or 8 year olds now, I think we all agree that there are behavioural issues. And I've recently read an article just over the weekend about the biochemistry of the children who were born during the quakes and who experienced ongoing aftershocks, and how that has affected just the toxicity of their body and how they relate. It's massive. It's massive. And it's only now that we can start talking about PTSD, because we're enough years afterwards. And we are beginning. We are seeing constantly, I believe, we are seeing constantly the outworking of this through our young people having such high levels of anxiety and challenges that they just can't seem to overcome.
And some people would say these are huge problems, there's no way we're ever going to be able to solve this. But you've seen that with a 10-week program, which all things considered is pretty short, has had a huge impact on the lives of these young people.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we go in for 2 hours a week, you know, over the 10 weeks. And it's quick, isn't it, Jeff? It's fast.
It is.
And we get a lot in that time, and the kids would tell you sometimes the pace is pretty full on. But in saying that, we have been really fortunate that the school we're working with has got a whole counselling team around us as well. So the kids have got extra support and places to go. But it does make a difference.
I agree, yeah. Absolutely. For me, it's very practical. I think there's been a lot of discussion, and maybe in some ways, my opinion, far too much discussion at times around, you know, what we do with mental health and what we do with, you know, some of these issues that are going on with not just our children, but with all of us. Mm. And I think it's just sometimes let's just get in there and start doing. And that's what this program is all about. It's very much raw, and as we said, it is a pilot, but the actual results and what we've seen and what you've heard even from the children this morning has really indicated that, you know, this works. Mm. So, you know, so we want to be in there and we want to start doing, because there's a great need. There's a huge amount going on, you know, across the city and across the nation and across the world even. So, absolutely.
And we don't have all the answers now. Our program isn't perfect, you know, but it is meeting the needs of these kids where they're at, and they're clearly, you know, there's something right about it, and we're hitting the mark in some way. So I don't think it is impossible to deal with these issues.
Yeah, and I think, you know, counselling can be absolutely fantastic for some people. Some people get a huge amount out of it, but then for other people it doesn't work as well. And people say, oh, well, what's there for me? Well, this sounds like this is one option for a lot of people.
That's right. And as Jeff said last week in our interview with you, Michael, you know, everybody has a different learning style as well. And I think particularly for Māori, if we take that on board as well, and other cultural groups, that we're not all readers and writers. Actually, we're orators, we're storytellers. And so I guess the unique difference that we bring is we encourage the kids to tell their story. And there's a ton of awhi in this, in aroha, that Jeff and I pour into these kids. I mean, they've become our kids in the last 10 weeks. You know, we really take them under our wings, and we just love them. We absolutely love them. So it's like parents letting them go out the nest on the final performance. And you know, but that's what we have to do. We have to trust that what we've taught them will last.
And just in the last minute, can you tell us, what are your plans for next year?
Well, at the moment, I'm off to Cambodia shortly to work with Hagar International, who work with people who are rescued from trafficking. And then I'm off to Africa with SIM International to work in a community there for a few weeks. And back to Cambodia as well. And we are also hoping to have the Shadows Project possibly go into the corrections facilities. That's one of the things we're looking at the moment, and we are also wanting to come back into the schools.
Wow, it sounds like you've got a very busy 2019 ahead of you.
Let's hope so, Michael.
Absolutely.
And lastly, how do people contact you?
You can contact us through Facebook, The Hive NZ, or you can email us at sharon@thehivenz.org, and that's Sharon with an O.
So S-H-A-R-O-N?
Correct.
Great. Well, thank you very much to Sharon, Jeff, Zach and Melissa. Really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks for having us all, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home with my lighthouse. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa.